Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. This is Eric Robinson, and this is a bonus episode for all of you hardworking teachers out there doing distance learning with your kiddos. I had the opportunity to talk to Chris Shiner, and he is a former kindergarten teacher turned tech integration specialist in a district outside of the Twin Cities, Minnesota. I have seen Chris's name come up over and over and over in the Seesaw Teachers Facebook group that I'm a part of, and he has so many awesome, innovative ways to use technology in meaningful ways with kids. He also has been working overtime to share some great tips about different things that you can try with your kids when you are doing distance learning. So without further ado, let's go to that interview with Chris Shiner. All right, well, I am here with Chris Shiner. And so I want to tell you a little bit about him and why we asked him to be on the podcast. So Chris is a former kindergarten teacher, and he's now turned into a technology integration specialist. He served as a pilot for Flipped Education and as an innovator with Google Apps. Chris has spoken at numerous national conferences. Chris is a published curriculum writer and a foundational member of STEM instruction, in the primary grades. And welcome, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited to be here and share some knowledge with you.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, I definitely wanted to have you on because with all of the remote learning going on, I think that there's, you know, you can teach at a basic level, just like in the classroom, you can teach at a basic level. But when it comes to remote learning, you kind of have to turn up a notch if you really want to get your kids engaged and doing fun things. And that's tough to do because teachers right now are kind of learning on the fly. Well, anyway, I came across some of your videos on YouTube. I love what you do with Seesaw. I noticed there's some other things we'll talk to you about too that I know that you've done some great videos and different things about. So we'll ask you about that. But anyway, I wanted to start by just saying that you get total brownie points for being a kindergarten teacher, a former kindergarten teacher. And I love when IT specialists or integration specialists are former teachers. Mm-hmm. I feel it gives you a unique perspective when you help other teachers. Right?
It absolutely does. I mean, having that window into the classroom and what it, you know, I guess what it would have felt like and what it was for us as teachers when we were teachers, you know, that bridge between technology and teaching is something that is often missing when we talk about technology and what technology looks and feels like for schools. And so when you have somebody who can come in, you know, with that perspective and that idea, you know, those things that you build for teachers and those things, those conversations you have instantly go to like practicality and what happens in the classroom and how that idea can actually form into something that's really powerful for kids.
For sure.
So that's the perspective that you come into those with. That's very different if somebody didn't have that background.
Oh yeah. I mean, the most simple example is like, oh yeah, well, you teach kindergarten, no problem. Just have them use their Gmail login. And you're looking at them like, you are out of your mind, dude.
For sure. Like, what do you mean Gmail login? Where do I find that?
That's right. All right. So I have a couple of things that I wanted to ask you about. And the first thing I wanted to start with is Seesaw. Let me back up a second. So what is something that you feel like teachers are doing really well right now when it comes to distance learning?
Yeah, I mean, kudos to all teachers everywhere because no matter what situation that you're in and how you feel about what's going on, like you're doing what needs to be done, which is building this system on really nothing that was there before. So huge kudos to anybody who's doing anything right now because it's better than just packing up shop and saying, nope, we're done for the year. So jumping into that world is something that is super, super hard for a lot of teachers. And I'm seeing so many teachers just kind of grab it by the reins and you know, grab the bull by the horns per se, and just jump into all of this new technology learning. I mean, I've had so many teachers say, I've learned so much with technology in the last 3 weeks than what I've ever learned in the last 15 years of teaching. And that's just because of that mentality of like, I have to learn this. I need to do what I need to do for my kids so that they can have an experience at home that they would have at school. And so just jumping in with that is super powerful. And that's a big, big positive.
So what's an area that you see teachers, maybe not the word, I don't want to use the word struggling, but where is an area where teachers need a lot of support right now?
Yep. the big one that I see, at least in our district, is, you know, in basically districts around the metro where we are, is like the home lives that kids have. We have zero control over that. Whereas when kids walk into our schools, we can kind of say like, yep, you get a meal, you're safe, you're loved, you're happy, you're warm, and all those things like that. So the home lives that kids have is something that a lot of teachers carry with them when they're even at home, because they can't do anything about it now, whereas you could maybe in school. And I think we're starting to pass this cusp of like, you know, there's fun, there's learning, there's new stuff, into now like, oh, now we have to close out the rest of the year and start to say like, what are we going to end this year with? What kind of grades are we going to have to give? How is this going to look for assessments and all these other really, really hard topics? Yeah. And those are bigger picture struggles, but those are things that I see a lot happening right now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Seesaw seems to be one of your favorite teaching tools. What are some tips that you can give us when using Seesaw for distance or home learning? Maybe we'll go over a couple of things that I've seen that you've shared that are amazing.
Sure. Yeah. The big ones is anything that you're going to do with Seesaw is try to just give something that's going to be super, super engaging. I've seen a lot of teachers just kind of, you know, use like a screenshot of a worksheet that you got out of the book or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you can take a little bit of time and just push that to a whole new level if you just kind of played with some of the tools and learned some things. So some of the big ones that came out lately are like using choice boards, which is basically creating one activity where you're encapsulating five or six other things with it, whether they're links or videos or other tools like that, so that you have a very rich lesson and activity for kids versus just saying like, watch this one video and then submit this one template and then we're gonna just move on with the lessons from there. So the choice boards have been a really hot one lately. And we've talked a lot about other tools like doing some scratch off activities with kids, using the tools in a way that's going to be engaging for them versus just, here's your list of words, just read them out loud for me really, really quick. Like how can we hide some other fun things in here for them so that they can discover the learning versus just kind of be a participant and be more of a reciprocator within that too.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there is a tendency to go back to like a really old school model of like delivery, regurgitation, because that's all you might be able to do with kids online. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think choice boards are great because, you know, you could use those with Seesaw or anything. Could you describe for folks that might not know what that is, what does a choice board look like? How do you create it?
Sure, sure. For me, I use Google Slides to create them. And it's essentially just different boxes of whether they're links or little screenshots of, you know, games that they're going to go play. It could also be embedded videos that are in this slideshow. And then students go to this live link of this Google slideshow and they can click and explore and you know, be immersed in basically as many links as you want them to, versus the typical activity can just have one link in it that links to then one template for kids. So you can provide not only a very efficient activity for them, but also a very rich activity for them by just using a little system like that to create a board.
Yeah, I love that not only are you giving them choices maybe of different read alouds they want to listen to, it could be something like you said where it's step by step, or first they maybe watch a video about polar bears, then they get to maybe do an interactive activity, then they get to read a book. There's a lot of ways where you can have a little continuity in the lesson. And I thought about it too. I kind of like for the home environment, the choice boards would allow you to maybe do 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there, instead of it being, I expect you to sit for an hour. You know, that's something that we preach in the classroom, which is like choice and voice, right? We want our kids doing their own research, being invested in learning. But, you know, I definitely, and this is not a knock on any districts to do this, but I'm hearing a lot of districts that are doing Zoom lessons or similar, where they're trying to recreate the school day, and it turns into sit with your teacher on Zoom for an hour for math, an hour for reading, an hour for, and I don't know how you turn that into any kind of choice in voice, right? Like
yes.
Fully teacher driven.
For sure. And that's actually, that's a funny bigger picture conversation of like, what does synchronous learning look like right now, and how does that impact our kids? Like, I've had so many testaments of teachers who say, like, I stopped doing this synchronous learning, and I'm noticing that the students who were struggling when I was doing this are starting to thrive because now they can pick up this lesson at 10 o'clock at night and they can answer the questions on a time that works for them, because maybe their parents are healthcare workers and they don't have the time to do it until it's 10 o'clock when they come home. Moving away from that has just been really, really critical. And that's kind of the shift that we're seeing in that pendulum that's swinging right now.
Yeah. And that's where technology really seems to accelerate learning and do the most good for kids, is when it can really scaffold that investigation and all those, you know, things that are more student driven. I know, like for my son, you know, he loves writing. What this time has allowed for him is to really immerse himself in writing with only a little direction from his teacher, where like math and reading, he needs a little more direction from his teacher. But with writing, it's been awesome to see what he can come up with when you just let go of the rules and say like, hey, write about whatever you want, man.
Right, you know, right.
And he's got all the resources because, you know, digital equity, that's a whole nother conversation, but yeah. We happen to have the tools for him where he can investigate and learn more, you know, and get that help. So that's mm-hmm. huge. That's huge.
For sure. For sure.
So you were talking about some other activities in Seesaw. For those who, and I know a lot of our listeners do use Seesaw, but for those that don't, Seesaw activities, they allow you to basically create a lesson, a template, and then kids can respond to those templates. And, you know, in a basic level, you can just put in some, you know, letters and have kids move them around or things like that for your template. Or like you were saying, put a worksheet in there and have your kids respond that way. But I know that you really are invested in activities and making them very interactive. So you talked about a scratch-off activity that you've created. I know there's some other ones out there. How do you come up with those ideas? And then can you give us an example, like a walkthrough of how you create something like that?
Sure, sure. That's funny. I've been asked that, I don't even know how many times I've been asked, like, how'd you come up with that idea? Because it's awesome. I think a lot about when I was a classroom teacher, and that's kind of where you go back to your roots a little bit about, like, what did my kindergarten kids love to do and what really hooked them in the classroom? And so when I think about some of those activities, I try to kind of unpack Seesaw at that point and say, okay, how can I replicate this in a tool that my kids, my students around me are already familiar with, because that's easy for them. And if I can make this idea actually show up right here, then it's going to be a huge win for everybody. So falling back to my roots a little bit and being a classroom teacher has been really, really critical. I also am lucky to have like a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old to test everything on. And if it's not fun and engaging, it's not going to work. So that's been super helpful too, to just kind of say, hey, try out this thing. If you like it, like, let me know. If you don't, then let me know that too.
Nice. And I know that you like to do a lot of app smashing where you basically would create a template in either, I think Google Slides is a favorite of yours, I've noticed, but, you know, creating that template, and then you would share that probably as a JPEG or some kind of picture, upload it to Seesaw, and then that's the background of your template. And then from there, you can kind of work magic, right?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things that we've kind of come up with is the mystery style of an activity where you have like this spotlight is what we call it. And you basically discover what's on the whole board. So we've done this, a really clear example would be like the fact find ones where you have a picture of like a shark and you hide like 5 different shark facts on it. And the students have to use this spotlight and move it around this shark picture to actually make these things and these facts pop out at you, because they won't show up unless you use that spotlight to make them show up in there. And so like you could just say, here's 5 shark facts. Great. Let's read them. Or you could give them something like that where they're going to engage in that and really love it.
Yeah. It's definitely cool how you think of that. Like you describe it almost like reverse engineering, where it's like, hey, let's start with what the kids like hidden pictures, right? Like, like they love hidden picture pages. For sure. Then working that backwards to how can I do that in a way that's fun and engaging. And I think too, you do it in a way where it utilizes tech, not in a way where it's like, all right, all you have to do is click on these 7 links and then you're going to go here. And then you have to use a special tool in a way that's just easy for kids to figure out. Right.
Yes. Yes. And that is another, that's funny you say that, because that's also another symptom of being a kindergarten teacher, because like you said earlier, we can't say like, go to Google and sign in and then go to Google Meet and then do this thing and then click on Google Slides to open this up and make a copy. It's like, no, you have to have a really easy entry point. And as long as your entry point, like that floor, is easy to get onto and you can take the ceiling off of that room, like live there for the rest of your life, because that is the place you need to be.
Nice. Well, and for those of you listening who do use Seesaw, you can get tons of Chris's activities just by going to the shared library. For those of you who don't use Seesaw, Seesaw has an entire library of activities. It almost looks like teachers pay teachers, but they're free activities. They're activities that teachers have created, and they're vetted by Seesaw. So there's just a ton of activities for all different grade levels. And I like too how Seesaw highlights the teacher, like whoever the teacher is that creates them, their name is tagged to that activity. So if you like a certain teacher, or you get like that kind of, wow, I really like the way that Chris does these things, you can go to their page and you can check out all their activities that they've made. I love how they do that.
Oh, it's so powerful. Well, and it's like you were saying, like empowering the teachers to push their boundaries within each other too is really, really it's a positive way that's giving free resources for everybody in the world. I mean, you literally don't see this on any other platform. Like there isn't one for Schoology or Canvas or anything else. Like this is the only one I've seen where it's like, here's all the stuff you need to be a great teacher. Go.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right, so let's move on from Seesaw. Let's talk about some other digital tools maybe that you're using in your district or just favorites of yours for distance learning. What are some other tools you like to use?
Sure. One that's been really, really hot right now and one that I'm going to push out a lot of ideas for is Jamboard lately. And Jamboard is owned by Google Apps for Education. And what's really awesome about it is it's a blank canvas whiteboard that has super, super robust drawing tools. But since it's owned by Google, it can be shared and collaborated on just like any other Google tool. So it's essentially like the Google whiteboard that's out there, and it's super, super powerful. And there's so many ways that you can use it. So that's kind of like the hot button that we're trying to push a lot on right now.
And is Jamboard, would you describe it as like a live teaching tool, or is it something that's more of screencasting where you record and then share?
It could be both, honestly. That's a good question, because, you know, there are teachers who are saying, how do I use a whiteboard when I'm having conversations with kids? And Jamboard could be a great tool for that. The big plus with Jamboard is since it's an instant connection, you can have a synchronous conversation with your students. So you could share this digital whiteboard with them. You could write a problem and they could write an answer instantly, whereas you don't see that on a whole lot of other tools.
Nice. And I think that the way you're describing it too, it seems like it would be a lot less distracting than trying to do that same thing with maybe Zoom or with Google Meet or something like that, where you do have some of those tools, but there's also a million other things going on, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, what else? Do you have anything else for us?
This isn't like a specific tool, but just using a screen recorder, you know, kind of to fall back on the conversation we had of, you know, moving away potentially from the synchronous teaching, though, like how are we going to record our lessons and our activities for our kids? Like that could be a million different things. It could be Loom, Screencastify, QuickTime. It could even be the built-in recorder on your iPad itself. But just using a screen recorder as a teacher is this new age of skill set that's coming to fruition right now. And it's one that's really, really critical in a lot of schools.
Well, and I think, like, you know, as somebody who's done a lot of screencasting, making video tutorials for other teachers, I think that it does have a little bit of a learning curve. But I think that one of the things I hear from teachers is like, what should I use? And I always tell them, listen, there are a million tools that will allow you to record your screen. You got to find the one that's going to work best for you. You know, and like you'd mentioned, I know for iPad, there's one called Loom, and Loom is a nice way to record your screen on your iPad. And then there's a built-in screen recording function on iPads now. If you have a Mac, then you'd use QuickTime. I mean, that's what I would use. That's what I do use. QuickTime is easy. And then for any other device, I think you can't beat Screencastify for what you get for the month. I mean, it's free. Probably 99% of users would get everything they need out of the free version, but it allows you to just record your screen and off you go. I mean, do anything you want.
My favorite thing about Screencastify is that you can export those as a GIF now. So like you could create a tutorial for how to do something, export it as a GIF, and then drop it right onto like a slideshow or even put it into a Google document for kids. So you're creating a self-help document or a self-help button even right on that template that you're going to hand out to kids.
Yeah. I know for me, when we first started distance learning, I was using new tools that I hadn't before. And I tried to keep the tools that we are already familiar with because that was going to be the easiest route. But, for example, Zoom was one. And then another thing within Seesaw, I'd never sent my kids messages through Seesaw before because we had been in the classroom. I needed to show them how to do that. So just by screen recording, I was able to send out video tutorials to my kids to say, hey, guys, here's how you do it. I mean, what a powerful thing rather than the 19 bullet points, right? Right. I know some teachers like
27 steps to complete this work.
That's right. That's right. I can tell you my kids would not have responded well to that if I just sent that out. So, well, cool. Right. Well, Chris, why don't you give yourself some plugs? I know you got a lot of social media stuff going on, some different things. Tell us about where we can find some of your awesome work.
Absolutely. The number one place that I share almost all my stuff is through Twitter. That's been something where I'm sharing 99% of all that work on there. There's links. I have a website that's going out there too, kshiner.com. That's been up for a while, but there's all kinds of things as far as templates. There's presentation links. There's resources for everybody. And I don't believe that you should pay to kind of skill yourself up as a teacher necessarily. So I put everything out for free all the time. And so you can find all that stuff on there. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm on every other platform too. So
nice.
You can find all of those. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And I will definitely put Chris's name as a link on our podcast when it comes out, but also on our Facebook page and things like that. Just in case, but just in case they need to spell it, it's K-R-I-S and then S-Z-A-J-N-E-R. So if you just search for that, you'll be able to find all of Chris's stuff, no matter where you are. It was easy enough for me to find it.
Yeah.
There were no other Chris Shiners out there, man.
That is true. It's easy to get a URL when you have that last name.
Nice. Well, I want to thank you again for joining us. It was awesome to talk to you. I know that our listeners are going to get a ton of ideas just by the first 5 minutes of any of your videos or just checking out what you got. So I was really pleased that you took the time to talk to us.
Yeah, and I appreciate being here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, once again, thanks to Chris for being willing to talk with us. It was a really nice conversation. And I hope that our listeners can check out some of his awesome videos that are on YouTube. Tons of stuff out there. All you need to Google is Chris Shiner, and here's how you spell his name one more time. So it's K-R-I-S and then S-Z-A-J-N-E-R, and you will see some of the great stuff that he's got going on. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Teachers Talking Tech. Just a reminder that you can find us on Facebook. You can email us at teacherstalkingtech@gmail.com, and we would love to get more messages from you out there. We would love for you to send us some voice memos. Just record a voice memo. Send them to teacherstalkingtech@gmail.com and we'll play them on the podcast and talk about them. We love hearing from you teachers. Tell us how distance learning is going. Tell us what you're struggling with. Tell us something that's working well for you. And one more thing. I know I'm always on the listeners about going and rating and reviewing the podcast, but if you could rate and review this podcast on Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast, it helps bump us up in the algorithm. It helps us reach more teachers. We don't get paid for this, but we do want to reach as many teachers as we can. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for the listen. This is Eric with Teachers Talking Tech. See ya.